except as it says in the Gemara, if he brought a Jewish blacksmith, or actually any blacksmith who's banging away at horseshoes next to his throne, and he's smashing and making all kinds of noise, that calmed down the mosquito for a while. Extra noise that drove everybody else nuts made the mosquito quiet for a while, and then it kept going on. And this is exactly what it felt like in the head of the Tsar, like a little mosquito that was driving him nuts, and he couldn't stand it. And he told himself, the only way that it's going to stop is if he lets Reb David out of jail. And the officer, the personal secretary, said, why should this Jew be so important to think about him when the big general was not important enough to think about even once for 2 years? That's very strange. I mean, okay, he built the army base and everything, but what's the big deal? Well, the Tsar said, I have a suspicion that his father is one of those special Jewish rabbis. That's what I have a suspicion. And the big officer says, and what difference does it make if his father is one of those big Jewish rabbis or not? What difference should it make? And the Tsar said, oh, I'll tell you something. I have found out that those Jewish rabbis, those special people they call, I think they call them tzaddikim, if I get it right. I don't speak Hebrew or anything, but I heard that word before. Those Jewish rabbis are not just regular people. They are special people. And it could be that this Reb David's father maybe is one of those special Jewish holy rabbis, and maybe, who knows, he did something to help his son. And the big officer says to the Tsar, how could he do anything to help his son? I mean, after all, did you ever see his father? Did he come to the army base? No, he wasn't there. Well, you're riding in your wagon and you're thinking about him, so was his father in the wagon? Is the father in the wagon to bother the Tsar? No, the Tsar says, it doesn't work that way. I'll tell you a story. Now, we're listening to the Tsar, King Nikolai, tell a story, and this is his story. He says, it happened a few years ago. I never told anybody this story, but I'm telling you. Shh. And this is how I found out those Jewish rabbis are not just regular people, but they're special. It happened a few years ago. I was going on another trip, not with a lot of wagons and a lot of people. I was going in my royal wagon with a few big officers. You were not with me. You were not my personal secretary then. Somebody else was. Well, at one evening, we stopped in a hotel. It was a long trip. And we checked into the hotel. And of course, we got beautiful rooms. They gave me the best room. After all, I'm the king. I'm the Tsar. Shh. And my room was overlooking a big field. And it was nice and quiet. There was no noise except for the night animals and a few frogs and crickets, whatever kind of animals you hear at night. It's very peaceful and very quiet. And I started to fall asleep because I was so tired from the long trip. And as my head is on the pillow, I start hearing voices. Not one voice or two, but it sounded like tens and hundreds of voices. And they were speaking a language that I could not understand. I thought to myself, I must be dreaming. I'm falling asleep. I'm tired. I mean, after all, my room is overlooking a quiet field. It's impossible to hear so many voices. There's nobody outside. I'm probably just dreaming. I'm beginning to have a dream. I'm falling asleep. Shh. And the king says, I continued hearing these voices. Shh. As if they were outside my window, like there was a whole group of people outside my window. And I realized, after pinching myself a few times, I was not sleeping, and I was actually listening to something. And I got out of my bed, and I walked over to the window, and I saw absolutely nothing except the field in the moonlight. A few trees, bushes. And I looked all around. There was nobody there. And I kept hearing the voices as I was looking out the window. I said, where are these voices coming from? Maybe it's from the hotel, from another room. But I knew that nobody else was awake in the hotel. Everybody had gone to sleep. And there certainly were not hundreds of people in the hotel making noises. And I said, where could these noises be coming from? Now, far away in the moonlight, there was some kind of a wall. And the other side of the wall, he could not quite make out what was over there. It looked like some kind of stones, but he wasn't exactly sure. And he thinks to himself, could the voices be coming from so far away? They sounded like they were right outside of his window. And the king decided to wake up. Now remember, the king is telling this story to his personal secretary in the wagon, on the road, as they're going, after he made the emergency stop to let Reb David out of the jail. Remember this. And he's explaining a possibility why he might have let Reb David out of jail. It might have something to do with his father being one of those special Jewish rabbis. Remember this? Okay. Now that we know where we are, what we're doing, let's go on with the story. Shh. The king says, I decided to wake up my personal secretary of that time before you. And I told him, I hear voices, and I cannot figure out what they are. Probably the only one that might be able to figure out what's going on has to be a person that can hear these kinds of voices. Shh. I hear the voices. Now, he calls the secretary. Do you hear the voices? What voices, king? I don't hear voices. Come to my room and listen. I hear voices. Go to the window. Do you hear voices? I hear wind blowing in the trees. But I don't hear voices. And the king still heard the voices. So the king figured out something is doing over here that's not just a simple thing. He says, go to the town. There's a town nearby. Go to the church. Wake up the galach. He would probably be a person that could figure out such a thing. After all, he's a special man. Go and bring him here. It's the middle of the night. I know it's the middle of the night. I'm hearing voices in the middle of the night. Go and wake him up. And tell him the king hears voices. And the king wants him to tell him what the voices are and why the king is hearing voices. And you could also tell him you don't hear any voices, but the king does. And if the king hears voices, you know the king hears voices. And you don't. I'm not imagining anything. And they went to bring the galach. And the galach came in his wagon in the middle of the night. After all, it's the king, it's the czar that's calling him. And even though he was asleep, he wakes up and he comes. And he comes to the king's room. And the king says, I'm sorry to wake you up in the middle of the night. It's important because I'm hearing hundreds of voices outside of my window. I want you to listen to the voices and tell me what they are and what they're saying. After all, you're the Gala. And the Gala goes to the window. King, I don't hear any voices. I'm sorry to say, I just hear the wind in the trees. And the king went to the window, and he still heard the voices. You don't hear anything? I don't hear a thing, just the wind in the trees. If I heard voices, I would tell you, king. I have no reason not to tell you if I hear voices, but I don't hear voices. Well, the king goes on telling this story to his personal secretary who's in the wagon, and he says, at that time, I had in my mind, I had heard that those Jews also have their holy men. They're called rabbis or rabbanim. Rabbanim, that's right. My officer says they're called rabbanim. So I told my personal secretary, go to the town, find one of those Jewish synagogues, one of those shuls, and find their rav, find their rabbi, and tell him to come here, because maybe he could figure out the voices. And the personal secretary of that time went, and he found the Jewish shul in the town, and he found the house of the rav. And he woke up the Rav and he said, the Tsar must see you in his hotel immediately. And the Rav of that town came to the Tsar's room in the hotel. And he says, Rabbi, go to the window and see what you hear. The Rav said, King, I already hear the voices, but I'll go to the window. And the Rav went to the window. He says, King, I hear hundreds of voices. Oh, finally somebody is hearing hundreds of voices like me. My secretary doesn't hear them. The Galahol didn't hear them. But you hear them? Yes. What language are they talking in? I cannot understand the language. The Rav said, they're speaking in Yiddish, the language of the Jews. Yiddish? And what are those voices? Where are they coming from? Well, the Rav says to the king, King, do you see that stone wall? Shh! Do you see that stone wall way over there? The king says, yes. Well, do you know what's on the other side of that stone wall, King? The king says, well, I cannot see exactly. I cannot make it out of the moonlight. And the rabbi says, that is a Jewish cemetery. That is a basic fares of the Jews. The voices are not really coming from there. They're coming from another world. But the king is hearing the voices, and the neshamas, the souls of the Jews that are buried in that basic forest, have gathered outside of the king's window, but from another world. And they are speaking and asking the king to do them a great favor. And the king says, yeah, what do they want from me? Why are all those people coming outside of my window, and what are they asking me? And the Rav says to the king, shh, the Jews are asking a great favor of the king because a terrible thing has been planned to happen to their resting place, their cemetery, the Beis HaKfaros. If the king will let me speak, I'm only telling the king what they're saying, that there's a plan that a new road, a new big road, like a highway, is going to be built in this area. Now, All plans for roads, especially big roads, go to the king, and the king signs if the king wants such a road to be built or not. And the king saw the plan for this road, and this big road is supposed to be built right through the middle of the cemetery, and many, many graves are going to be destroyed, and the rest of the cemetery will be split in two with a big road in the middle. And the king saw the plan, and the king signed his name anyway, even though several people said Jewish people will be upset that the king builds a road in the middle of their cemetery. But the king signed his name and he said, build the road. And they're planning to build the road and smash down many, many graves and build a road in the middle of the cemetery. And it's going to, of course, be a terrible thing for the Jews that are living and the Jews that have passed away, that the cemetery, the Beis HaKfaris, is just split in two by a big road. And the Yidden, the Jews from that Beis HaKfaris, are coming to cry to the king, please change the plan. Do not build the road in the middle of our resting place. Build it around. Build it in a different place that it should not ruin our Beis HaKfaris. And this plan was also presented to the king, but those that said to the king, the road will be too long and too expensive, it'll be extra to build it around, just build it through and we'll save a few thousand rubles. That's the plan that the king put his royal signature and stamp. And those Jews are asking the king, please don't do it, build the road to go around. Now, as soon as the king heard this, he said, I will immediately change the plan. And Kinelach, immediately the voices disappeared. And the king thanked the Rav, and the king went to sleep, and the Rav went home. So the Tsar Nikolai is explaining to his personal secretary, he says, from this I learned those Jewish rabbis are special people, and they have special powers. And it must be that this Jew that I threw in jail, this Reb David, his father, must be some kind of a holy man, one of those rabbis. And he must have done something to help his son. And I couldn't get him out of my mind. And then I decided to let him out of jail, and my mind was free. There was a big tzaddik, and his name was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. And one day he was walking on the road, and all of a sudden he recognized that also walking the road on the road was Eliyahu Hanavi. Usually Eliyahu Hanavi is impossible to figure out who he is or to recognize him, because he does not give anybody permission to recognize it. Or I must say, Hashem wants it to be a secret that it's Eliyahu HaNavi. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi was such a tzaddik that he recognized, he figured out, he saw with his halakite that this is Eliyahu HaNavi. By the way, it's interesting, I forget the name of the tzaddik, but near Tzfas, on the way from Meron to Tzfas, off the road, you know, there's certain kvarim, there's certain graves of tzaddikim all over Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, near Meron and Tzfas, there's all these different graves of halakhic tzaddikim. And one of the graves is kind of like up away from the road. I forget the name. But why is that tzaddik buried way up there? And the answer is that that tzaddik, when he was alive, was walking in that place. And in that place, he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And that was such a special place to that tzaddik that he decided when he will pass away, that's where he wants to be buried, in the place that he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And that's where he's buried.
The reason he's buried there is because that's the place that actually he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And you have to go way up to go up there. Anyway, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi met Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said, "You're Eliyahu HaNavi." Eliyahu HaNavi said, "Shh. Don't say it too loud." And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "I want to go along with you and see what you're doing." Eliyahu says, "People, human beings, cannot go with me. Oh, please, I want to go with you. I've always dreamt that I could go with you and see the special things that you do." And Eliyahu said, "Human beings, people, are not allowed to go along with me because they can never figure out what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. It would bother them too much. They'd have too many questions. And it's not in the power of a person to figure out the things that I do. Because the way I look at things is because that's the way I see from Hashem." Eliyahu says, "People cannot go with me because they cannot figure out what I do. It'll bother you too much. You'll have too many questions. And I cannot be bothered all the time with all the questions you're going to ask and how bothered and upset you're going to be if you're going to see what I do." "Oh, no, no, no. I won't ask any questions. Just as long as I get to go along with you and see." Eliyahu says, "All right. You will come along with me only on the condition that you must not ask any questions. No matter what you see, or if it bothers you, or you can't figure it out, you must not ask questions because you're a person. And I'm on a shlichus from Hashem. Do we see things the way Hashem sees things? No. We see things the way we see things. Hashem could see things differently. And Eliyahu is a shliach for Hashem to do special things for the Eibishter. Now, just like we cannot figure the Eibishter out, we cannot necessarily figure out Eliyahu HaNavi. And even the tzaddik Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi cannot necessarily figure out Eliyahu HaNavi. As you'll see also, the story I'll tell you, Bli Neder, at the end. But let's hear this story first. Okay, they are traveling now on different roads, different places, going and going the whole day. And Eliyahu is teaching secrets of the Torah to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Just like, as we know, when Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai was in the cave, who came to teach secrets to Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai and his son Elazar? Eliyahu HaNavi. So he was teaching secrets of the Torah to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It is getting late. It is time to find a place to stay. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "I wonder where we're going to spend the night. We're just traveling on the road." All of a sudden, they come to a very poor, falling down kind of a house. And there's this old man and old woman sitting in front of the house. And they see a mezuzah on the house. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi noticed the mezuzah on the house. "Oh? All of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi says, "Here's a place for us to spend the night." They go near the house. The old man and the old woman see two Jews on the road. They get very excited. "Oh, please come to be our guests, two travelers on the road. Please, we would love to have you as our guests. Please come and eat and to spend the night in our house. It's getting late. You must need a place to stay." Oh, they were so friendly and so nice. Well, they brought Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Eliyahu HaNavi in the house. Of course, they did not tell who they were. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said who he was, but Eliyahu HaNavi didn't say, "Oh, hello, I'm Eliyahu HaNavi." He didn't say that. Now, two travelers on the road. The old man and the old woman were very, very poor, but very friendly. They invited them to a meal. They hardly had enough food, but they shared the food so happily. And the old woman prepared the food as best as she could, even though it wasn't a lot and she didn't have a lot of fancy spices and delicious things, but she made a meal for the two guests and she served it with a big smile. And the old man and the old woman were sitting with them and so happy to have guests. And then it was time to go to sleep. Of course, they must have davened Mincha and Ma'ariv. I don't know if Eliyahu Navi, well, you know, exactly what his mitzvah of his davening, as he's a malach, but Rabbi Shuvan Levi davened. And whatever, you know, they did. The main thing is, now it's time to go to sleep. Now, do you think they had a guest room in that house? I mean, that was a poor, poor, small house, just big enough for the old man and the old woman. Well, the old woman prepared their own beds, the old man and old woman, those are the only beds in the house. She prepared them with nice, fresh, clean sheets and pillowcases and covers for the two guests. And the old man and old woman went to sleep in the barn next to the cow on the straw. And they did it happily. They were going to sleep in the barn with the cow. Now, the reason I don't say the cow and the other animals, because they only owned one cow. They were very poor. And their only money that came to the family was the milk from that cow and the cheese that they used to sell, and they got a few pennies for that. That was their parnassa. To take care of that cow, he would eat the grass, and he would give milk, and that's how they made a living, selling a little bit of milk and cheese to people. And they slept now in the barn, and Eliyahu Navi and Yehoshua ben Levi have the beds in the house. In the morning, the old lady and the old man, again, are treating them so nicely and fix them whatever kind of breakfast they could. And they say goodbye because they have to leave now. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Eliyahu Navi are leaving. And they say goodbye to the old man and the old woman. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is thinking to himself, what hachnasas orachim? What wonderful people. What special happiness they have to share, even though they don't have a lot for themselves. And Eliyahu says, yes, truly, truly wonderful people. I think I'm going to say a prayer to Hashem. I'm going to daven to Hashem in order to help them, in order to say thank you to Hashem that we stayed in their house and had such a wonderful time. And, of course, this is after they left the house, and they're on the other side of the trees over there, away from the house. Eliyahu goes to a tree, and he starts to daven. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is standing nearby listening, and Eliyahu says, Hashem, please kill the cow that belongs to the old man and the old woman. Let the cow fall down dead. Now, in the distance, you could all of a sudden hear all these cow noises. And you could tell the cow was getting very, very sick. And the cow fell down dead. And you could hear the old man and the old woman coming out to their cow and start to cry, our cow, he died, our only source of parnassa, the place where we got our money from the cheese and the milk. Our poor cow is dead. What are we going to do? How will we get money?
Milk it dead.
Well, I don't think we're allowed to milk a dead cow. Doesn't sound too kosher to me. Okay, the meat from the cow is called nevela. In other words, it is not kosher. Even the cow is kosher, but this is important. If an animal dies and is not shechted, you're not allowed to eat that meat. A goy would be allowed to eat the meat, and you would be allowed to sell it to a goy. But a Jew would not be allowed to eat the meat because it's called nevela. And a nevela is not kosher. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is, of course, wondering. This is the kind of way you say thank you to people? To ask Hashem to kill their cow? And especially they're poor, and especially is their only way to get money? This is the way? Now, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is not saying it out loud, because he knows he's not supposed to ask questions and dray a cup to Eliyahu Hanavi. But he really gets very upset, and he's very wondering, and it just doesn't seem at all the right way to do it. But he keeps his mouth quiet, and he doesn't say anything. And now they travel on the roads in different places. Now they're going the whole day again, here and there. And all the way, Eliyahu Navi is teaching secrets of the Torah to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. All of a sudden, now again, it's getting dark. They need a place to stay. And in the distance, they see a beautiful mansion. You know what a mansion is?
Yeah.
A beautiful house. Gorgeous. There must be a millionaire. And of course, a beautiful garden, even in front of the house, and probably even back of the house, and a beautiful yard. And it's nicely kept and painted. And it's well lit up. And there are even servants by the gates. And it's just really like a palace. And now, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is following Eliyahu Navi up the driveway, even though they didn't have cars in those days, the way to get to that beautiful house. And the servants let them through the gates. And they go to the front door.